Welcome to 305 Radio. My name is Struck.
And I'm Draymond.
And today we got a special guest for y'all. We have an artist. His name is Roxo.
My friend, welcome back to the show.
Welcome back to the show. I know that you were on the show with us when we were at the radio station.
Yes.
Many moons ago.
Yes.
That's dope. And I'm glad to see, your whole art career has taken like such a monumental turn since last we spoke.
And path of its own.
Oh, yeah.
Always.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got a lot of things that has spawned because of it, man. I love it. Shoot, I remember when he was like, well, I just quit my job.
Hold on. We got to start all the way from the beginning.
Yeah.
Tell us who you are, what you do, and what connects you to the beautiful city of Miami.
Yeah. So my name's Roxo, Rocky. I am a muralist, recording artist from Miami, Florida. I've been creating art since 2007, graffiti, hip hop scene, teaching kids music and art therapy. And got into the crypto space online communities in 2021. Mm-hmm. And from there, after the pandemic, just, working full-time telemarketing and then becoming a full-time artist, wifey gave me the green light to kind of hit the ground running and start this IRL business, in real life business called Project Roadmap.
All right.
And it's been crazy. It's been like 4 or 5 years of just mural activations, consulting for Fortune 500 companies, mm-hmm. Obviously writing, recording music with Miami Beat Wave. So just kind of juggling a few things and creating processes and systems, not only for myself, but for other artists to become successful. And it's been a beautiful thing.
Were you born and raised here?
Yeah, born and raised in Miami, Florida.
Yeah.
And then what's your background nationality?
Cuban American. Born in Hialeah.
Okay.
My mom had to remind me. She had to remind me. She's like, "Yo, you were born in Hialeah Hospital."
Okay.
And I've been living here my whole life. I remember the 1997 World Series from the Florida Marlins.
There you go.
2003 World Series from the Marlins, and just being in Bird Road and just celebrating with everybody. Like
pots and pans.
That's it. Pots and pans. It was loud.
Yeah, it was.
So what came first? Because I know that you are a lyricist, you do music, you do artwork. What came first?
I would say the art came first. My dad was a graphic designer, so he did artwork for a lot of big brands like the Miami Heat, Digimon, Pokemon, Disney. And I would see him on Illustrator just like creating art and being like, damn, like, I hope one day I can be that good. Mm-hmm. And really, I kind of fine-tuned my style after like high school and stuff. But he was like one of my first inspirations, my cousins, the Cuban culture, Miami culture. So I would say art came first, and then music came along. I think it was pretty much during like 8 Mile, like watching,
okay.
watching 8 Mile, watching like the battles, and then understanding like hip-hop culture, graffiti, breakdancing, MCing, and DJing.
It's a beautiful thing.
That's dope. That's so good. I mean, since you've been doing art, like your whole style has evolved and your gear.
Yeah, tell us
your
about
gear
your style.
Is representative of
yes.
your work.
So, doing graffiti for the past, 5 or 10 years, I think even more than that, that's way more than 5 or 10 years. I just apply like what I learned from, graph culture, and I kind of converted it and I called it stained glass graffiti. So just, going to like Catholic church, seeing the way the sun hits like stained glass, mm-hmm. I wanted to emulate something like that through my artwork. And I coined the phrase stained glass graffiti. And I also came from, teaching the kids in the lockdown facility. So I would teach them like how to do letters and their tags. And then I think one day I came in with a lesson plan. I was like, hey, what do you guys think about these patterns? Or like, they're like, we love it. So the kids were kind of like my product testers,
QR,
QA. Yeah, so they will tell you, they're honest. They're like, yo, this is dope, or this is like whatever. So that it was like effortless.
Yeah.
So I got into doing patterns and doodles and just applying all of my skill and my logic from graffiti into like the style that you guys see now. And then Procreate came out of nowhere.
Procreate.
And that was a program that was super user-friendly. Mm-hmm. So like my dad did Illustrator, but I could never understand like how to draw with that pen, and it just my attention span wasn't there. But Procreate was so user friendly and so easy. I was able to understand the brushes, mm-hmm. the continuity of the way the outlines are, and just use that. So I digitized a lot of my artwork and put it on apparel. So nice. This is like a bomber jacket with my stained glass graffiti. It's got like eyes and stuff on it. And then there's my hand painted snapbacks. Those are actual mm-hmm. hand painted.
Classics too.
Yeah. And then it's kind of just showing people like the difference between like either print on demand or garment and fashion and mm-hmm. like hand painted apparel.
Talk about a learning curve, man, because most people don't look into the differences between them. Yeah. And when they do, it's too late.
Yeah. you have to walk people through it, because the thing is like, I didn't know a lot of this stuff. So mm-hmm. this is kind of YouTube University, and I'm like, okay, how do I figure out, how do I articulate what it is that I do and make the audience understand what I do?
Yeah.
And I kind of started applying, like, you know, just being a teacher, like walking hand in hand with clients or with supporters and explaining to them the process. Mm-hmm. And what ends up happening is I get more support. I get more people that want to collaborate. More people have a better understanding of what it's like to be an artist, an entrepreneur, mm-hmm. and someone that's just learning in this space.
And we're always learning, right?
Yes.
Always. We never stop.
Yes, absolutely.
That is dope, man. And so let's go into your hip hop. Because, man, you, like, I see you on social media. You're a little bit, there's a mix of everything you're doing on your profile. Yeah. So, I mean, was it Complex that was here that you were on this dude's show?
Yeah, it's just all crazy.
So, I love his show. Ari's Home?
Yeah, Aria Home.
Aria Home.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And that wasn't planned. So I think it's funny. A lot of people have been coming up to me and been like, hey, like, how did you make that happen? Like what was it like? And really it was
divine.
It was crazy.
Intervention.
It's basically like hip hop. Like, it's just, you know what it's like to be in a cipher to create, you know, and kind of have like these words and these lyrics and freestyle and all this stuff. It's just kind of like in your brain and you're trying to figure out how to bring it out, and then he's cooking up the beat live, you know?
Love it.
And
so you freestyle.
Yeah, we
he cooked.
We
cooked from the beginning to the end.
It's crazy because I've seen his live streams before and I was like, damn, like, I wonder what it would be like if we were ever in that position. And then we're in Vegas at ComplexCon and we're like signing up for a raffle, and the wifey's like, I think that's Ari. And I go, no way. And I see him literally walking around cooking
doing
up the
thing.
Beat. So we signed up the raffle because we were supposed to win like this hand-painted car. Uh-huh. And we go looking for him and he disappeared. And then we turned the corner and he was there cooking up a beat. And he doesn't know me. I don't know him. And it's one of those things where people are like people are trying to interview me. They're trying to see like what's going on because it's getting
like
a lot
what
of
what are you two doing
yeah.
together?
What are you guys
and,
doing?
And everyone thinks that we know each other, and Ari's like, nah, I don't. This is my first time meeting him, and he's like, I hope he's good.
I was
like,
I don't know this guy.
Yeah. And I just, you know, he started playing the beat. I spit, you know, stuff that just kind of like represents myself in Miami mm-hmm. and where I'm at. And
now he knows him.
It's crazy. No, it's crazy. It's crazy how social media works like that. But it's kind of like we kind of spoken into existence. And I remember just seeing his stuff on YouTube, even after like the passing of my own man, and just because I was watching, I was so fascinated by someone just creating beats live, but also the talent in New York City. There
of
was
course.
Like there were so many dope artists,
yeah.
And I was like, damn, like there's a lot of amazing artists now. So I guess we kind of put that into the ether, and it happened.
That's the best way to happen,
that's
man.
Yeah.
That's like serendipitous.
Yeah, it's weird. It's like to put that energy out there, and then it's not like we're praying for it. It just kind of like happens. You know?
So is that you just go up to him and go, yo, let me have some bucks?
I'm just like, bro, it's either going to be good or it's going to be bad. But I might.
So is there like a real collab coming on soon? Or?
I wouldn't say collab because I know he works. He just does like spontaneous stuff. I've never seen him do like a collab stuff.
Nah,
but
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I've never heard that he's doing.
But that's what makes
like
it. That's what makes it dope, because too many times, I think if it had to be a song, then there's too much thinking where it's like, oh, it needs to have a hook. It needs to have this. It needs to have a vibe. And it's like, it's beautiful seeing it
being just happen.
Yeah, on the spot.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Because it's just as good.
And that there's some kind of magic there. Like you can't duplicate like the artist vibe or the Beatsmiths vibe.
Oh yeah.
Like you can't duplicate
very
that.
Chemistry.
You can't be like, wait, hold on, take two.
Nah, it's yeah, I mean, you guys know, like, you guys been in cyphers, you've seen b-boy jams, like, no one's gonna be like, all right guys, cut, all right, now can you say it more like this? It's like, no, it's just is what it is. Yeah,
not bad, man, not bad. I really like that. So one of the things that you're also well known for is the crypto space.
Yes,
right? So
how did that start?
I mean,
crazy,
there's crypto, just, it's one of those rabbit holes that once you just take a step in,
yeah,
you just start going way down. And let me tell you, I got into the space because of you.
Yep. We got everybody in.
Because you posted somewhere, you were like, does anyone have any idea something about cryptocurrency? And I was like, cryptocurrency?
It was
and the name, I started researching it. ¿Para qué fue eso?
Yeah.
Because soon after, I'm like, I got all these apps.
Yeah.
I have to know how to sell, buy. Like,
It's a lot. It's the best way I can explain it to anyone is, so I came from selling my art, working a 9-to-5 job, mm-hmm. putting money in to do a solo gallery show, like, feel free. And
that was the first solo art exhibit, right?
Yeah, and a lot of artists do that. That's the thing, like, you end up finding out that a lot of artists, whether they're full-time or not, they have to figure out how to back their own brand and their name.
Correct.
So I came from vendoring. I came from, you know, working a 9-to-5 job and selling my art like mm-hmm. that, you know, whether it's big-ticket items or small-ticket items. Mm-hmm. And the crypto space kind of, like, the Web3 space, like, with NFTs and all that stuff, like, it was a different perspective on intellectual property.
Correct.
And that consumer behavior and a personal relationship with someone's IP and a brand.
Mm-hmm.
So the best way I can explain it is kind of like for, like, how my dad used to work. If he needed to work for a company and design something with Mickey Mouse, right? You can't just use that IP and sell it because you're going to get a cease and desist.
Mm-hmm.
And there needs to be a proof of ownership.
Mm-hmm.
Blockchain technology kind of created those infrastructures and incorporated art in it. So
correct.
Essentially, I was part of these online communities. I started doing digital backgrounds on Procreate. And it's personal to them because that's their IP. They can identify with it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
mm-hmm.
like Mickey Mouse, or everyone knows Mickey Mouse, and it does make money in sales, but this was more of like a personal thing.
Unique,
this
yeah.
is
a
your
collective
brand.
Individual thing.
Yeah, it's kind of like, oh, this is my Ferrari, but it's my Ferrari with the stripes, and it's mm-hmm. like a very unique positioning on it. And I came from, you know, just regular artist vendoring, like regular shows, not regular, but like just creative control. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted that. And this was an avenue for that. So I got, instead of getting no's, I got yeses. That's the best way I could put it.
That's awesome.
Because in the art world, like, you're rubbing shoulders with all different types of people, but some people, like, might not understand your value because mm-hmm. it's subjective. Here, I was like, oh, I'm, you know, I could charge $50 for a digital background. They're like, all right, cool, I'll do it. And I'll be like, this isn't taking up any space. This is me creating digital art. And I'm sending it to someone,
and that's it.
And it's not taking up any space, and mm-hmm. they just want it. So there's an intrinsic value there. So then I was like, all right, cool, let me see. And this is me doing the telemarketing job. So in between calls, I am taking calls and, like, doing backgrounds for everyone's PFP, like their profile
Amazing.
Picture, which is like their digital identity. And from there, it went to physical canvases. When I did the physical canvases, mm-hmm. I made pretty much like my salary for that year.
Amazing.
It was Art Basel 2021. I got commissioned out to paint 16 canvases, and I got paid up front. So I'm painting
Amazing.
The canvases live, and people are like, how much is it? I'm like, it's already sold.
Yeah, like, so I already got paid for
it's
this.
Already sold.
So what we did was we just reverse engineer the way people look at art. Because what happens is people feel like art is this thing that's so far away
mm-hmm.
because of cost of money, or like there are different types of reasons why people buy art.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's an asset. They just love the artist.
Yeah, they're a collector.
It speaks to them. You know, there's many different reasons. But yeah, we hit the ground running. from digital to physical art, and then from physical art and went to the murals, and that's how we started the in real life business. They call it IRL, but yeah. In real life business, which was Project Roadmap. And Project Roadmap was basically, you know, Roxo, the wifey, mm-hmm. and a few of my friends, and just kind of like highlighting each other because we're also content creators as well. We mm-hmm. understand the value of content. It's not even enough to get paid to do the murals and to do the art. You need something with substance, and that's where the content comes in, because it actually tells the story and makes it legit, and it's credibility.
Correct.
Yeah, it keeps the place in time, you know?
Exactly.
That's amazing, man. And I mean, like, that the blockchain technology had so much utility. You know what I mean? I think we're still way ahead of the curve on that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are being implemented now that were created because of blockchain, like mm-hmm. infrastructures. They just don't call it NFTs. They don't call it smart contracts. They just mm-hmm. it's very seamless. Like, you don't know that you're using it. You don't.
Correct.
In all the big banks, like BlackRock, like big, huge financial infrastructures are backing it. But it's one of those things where you can't hit people over the head with it.
It has
to be very, like, you do your own research type stuff. And if you don't know, ask someone that is savvy in it, because you'll get wrecked. If you're not
completely.
If you're trying to move fast, like, it could be a casino, but it also has important use cases.
And I lean more towards the use case, man, and the utility towards these projects, you know, versus, oh, I'm going to flip this coin and make this money and wait till it gets to a dime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Transactional is very, like, like I said, those type of people are very, like, in and out, very finicky. Mm-hmm. So it's better to kind of be observant, kind of like a fly in the wall, and see, like, what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, you know? And man, you've taken off in that space.
Yeah, I came as an artist. I didn't come in as, like, a degenerate
investor
or anything. Yeah. I came in as, like, hey, I want to create art. Like, I need a control of my name and my brand, and that's why I put in the sweat equity in the work, because mm-hmm. I know, like, hey, if I'm going to release a project, you guys already seen all the digital backgrounds I did.
Correct.
You guys already seen the physical canvases, the murals. You've seen the content. You know our team. All this, but it took time.
I bet.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to drop it year one. It's like 4 years later.
Yeah, because it took you some time, because you got to work with some of the biggest groups in the
space. Yeah, the biggest brands.
Yeah. And those brands are just skyrocketing. They were $1 million.
Let's talk about some of those.
Bored Ape.
If you can.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said,
that's huge.
Yeah, it's there is intrinsic value. There's community. You know, there's all these different aspects to it. It's not just a physical art that you're getting online. There's a vast majority of different things that are happening within the Bored Apes or within mm-hmm. all these different NFT projects. So essentially, imagine it's like a Kickstarter for a digital online brand where mm-hmm. they're creating metaverses, they're creating games. Mm-hmm. And now with AI, now with devs, now with all these things, you're seeing people, like, create these games live mm-hmm. and host online art auctions and just all these cool incentives. And then again, we meet in real life. We have Ape Fest, we have ComplexCon. So we're not just mm-hmm. tied into the crypto stuff. ComplexCon is a big convention for some of the top brands. You know, all the top brands that want to showcase their work, they go to ComplexCon. Yeah. So there's a lot of
it's the place to be.
Yeah, there's one of the places to be. But I remember going to Vegas and being like, yeah, this is where you learn about clothing brand and fashion and hype beast and FOMO and consumer behavior. Like, you learn how all those things apply. You learn, like, where social marketing works. Like, why are people waiting in a line for 2 or 3 hours to get this one shoe? What's the difference between the person that's a collector and someone that's just, like, flipping it? And you apply that same logic to crypto and Web3. Those things have always existed, you know?
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it here first. That's the secret to crypto.
What do you think is your main focus right now between all of those different things that you do, or you're just really blending them all together?
It's a blend. So, like, we built a portfolio the last 2 or 3 years, and we caught the attention of a major Fortune 500 company by the name of Verizon. And
I don't know who that is.
You might not know what that is. But so what happened with that, because of the crypto space, we were referred to someone in those communities, to Verizon, to start an initiative called Love Letters to the City. And essentially what it is basically they wanted artists to paint murals in different storefronts and highlight arts and culture. They were trying to interview like different artists, but when they got a hold of us, I explained our story, our collective, and we knew a lot of the similar artists that they wanted to hire out. So we just went through the avenue of Project Roadmap, through the content creating, and then this is the crazy part, we started like consulting, because part of it is they are trying to commission us out, right, to mm-hmm. paint stuff, to do stuff of culture, but what is the intent behind it? And when you explain intent to them, and they're on the same page, because it's all about how things look, not like, and how you present them. Mm-hmm. And and we both as a collaborative turned the Project Love Letters into something that started in Miami, and then it branched out to Atlanta. We were able to like hire out different artists, like interview them, see where their energy's at. Because it's not even about skills anymore. It's about how you come off as a person.
It's like a full package, you know?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. How are you representing the brand? Not just for Verizon, but how are you representing the intent of what we are trying to do? Because we are trying to highlight artists. We have the budget, but what is the approach? And that's kind of like how we learned that through the crypto space. If you're going to release a project, how are you just trying to make money and then... Or are you trying to build a community? Are you trying to cultivate something special?
So goes back to purpose and intent.
Purpose and intent go a very, very long way. And the big brands now are starting to understand that. It's no longer like, hey, we need this super famous artist or model or something to drive an ROI. It's like, we need to tell a story.
Mm-hmm. We got to make that real connection with the audience.
Correct.
Content is king.
Always. Yeah. One of the kings. Yeah. Kings and queens.
Do tell. What are the queens?
I mean, it's content is a form of building like your name and your brand and communicating to people. Also being able to take a step back. Like there's artist burnout, but there's also like taking time away to strategize. So there's mm-hmm. content and then there's strategy. Mm-hmm. 'Cause I could send out a bunch of stuff.
Post stuff all day.
And it can, but if it's not hitting, then it's like, all right, let's slow down and again it goes back to intent. The algorithm changes the intent. Once you figure out what that intent is, if it makes sense to you and it makes sense to all your supporters, then you create that through the content. Is the hardest thing, because we're all trying to go 100 miles an hour.
And now
No. You need to do 10 videos a day. You need to do this. You need to do that. And it may never feel like it's enough. So that's where you have to take a step back and be like, all right, cool. What's different? Because mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys notice, Instagram changes, Twitter changes.
All the time.
YouTube. Everything changes because of the way technology is.
Mm-hmm. It does. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I mean, the craziest part about that is that there's no press release for it.
No.
It just, you'll find out through other creators.
Oh, yeah.
And they found out the hard way, because they're like, why? They're about to crash out because the numbers ain't matching.
Well, yeah, because they feel like they're owed that. Like, I understand it. Yeah. I understand the frustration, and I understand how things might escape you. But it's, so when things change around your environment, you can either be stuck in it or you can adapt and you can pivot. It doesn't mean that you're giving up on who you are. It just means that you're learning a different perspective on what works and what doesn't work. This is like a lot of what we do is not even like we're not trying to be successful. We're just trying to understand like our purpose and our intent and how to maneuver through it, because just the dynamics of everything change. So you can't take it personal. You can't, like, not that you can't fall in love with it. You can't fall in love with the process, but not to the extent of, no, it has to be this way. If it's not this way, it's not going to yield results. And what's happening is you're alienating yourself and your supporters around you. Because your supporters will tell you what's going to work. They're more tapped in than you are. You're just in the work.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was literally just making notes, and that's exactly the word that I wrote down, is adaptive, right? We have a lot of artists, both in the artistic, as far as art and music world, that are complaining about AI, that it's ruining their careers, that it's mm-hmm. doing this and doing that. But you're a perfect example of how adapting to the technology and to mm-hmm. the AI and actually utilizing them as tools to further progress and push out, you know, whatever type of craft you're doing, I think that's very important. So what would you tell those artists out there that are complaining about the AI? What would be your voice to them?
I would say it's just like another avenue. It's kind of like, if you look at it as a way to streamline a process or to create systems to make your life easier, why would you not try that? I understand cutting corners. I understand that some of it is like a little like, you know, the anatomy of the art might not be accurate. This might not make sense. But you're looking at it on a percentage basis of, okay, how much am I going to use this versus the real work? Because mm-hmm. you could use AI, but the real people who use Photoshop, the real artists who write and record music, that's just a reference. You still have to do the work.
It's true.
You still have to do the work. You still have to make it original, right? So it's like you're looking at something like, okay, 20 or 30% AI, the rest is all me. I wrote the song. I did the vocals.
I gave it the instructions.
And then there's the argument of, okay, well, what about the people who play the instruments? What about the artists? I'm like, well, you're looking at it as a reference because you still have to do your due diligence. You have to do the work. You have to make it unique because there's a difference between, and this is crazy because I've seen, there are people that are using AI for bad. We can all agree, right?
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword with everything.
But there are people who are using it as a tool. So that's the best way I can articulate it.
I was expecting like the worst news ever. You're like, hold on, this is crazy. Well, and just tell me that, you know, it's all connected.
I mean, think about how fast the world moves.
Correct, yeah.
That, so the issue that artists have is instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
Artists are like, well, I've put years into this. I deserve the accolades. I deserve this. But yeah. If you look at how fast content creating is being made, if you look at how fast systems are being created, artists aren't thinking like artists anymore. They're thinking like, all right, I have a really unique art style. How can I mass produce it? Or how can I sell my work? Like, and it's in their comfort zone of mm-hmm. what they want success to be for them. It isn't like, yo, I just want money and fame or I want success. It's like,
Correct. How
can I be real? Because artists do look at, like, I want to be successful, but I want to be
authentic
and relatable because my work speaks for itself.
Mm-hmm.
It is going to speak for you.
Yeah.
And I think AI just streamlines that process from, like, a clerical standpoint, like, an assistant. Like, a lot of artists, they don't really talk to themselves like that, or they're like, hey, how do I do this? And it's like, it's a conversation, like, well, here are these options.
Yeah, these are my options right now.
Yeah, and you have to hire people. You used to have to hire people out for that. You used to pay them, and you don't know if it's going to yield results. So you're just throwing money and seeing what sticks. At least with this, you're like, okay, let me see what works and what doesn't work.
Proof of concept.
Yeah.
It's a big, big thing. And, I mean, there's a lot of people that just plot and plan, and they talk to talk, don't walk to walk.
Yeah, that's and talented people too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some people that are just amazing at what they do, but they want the world to give them
everything.
What they have accomplished. And the thing is that nobody cares.
Yeah.
Not in a bad way, but it's like you have to make people want to care. You have to make people want to understand your story. And that's one thing I tell artists. I'm like, hey, part of why people buy from me is because of the way I come across, not my persona. I don't think I'm better than anyone. Mm-hmm. I want people to appreciate my work. So I look at people, I talk to them, I have conversations. What do you like? What you don't like? Mm-hmm. And when you're actively listening and then you create a whole new piece based on suggestions, I'm not saying that you need to create your work on that, but people are like, oh, wow, he really is tapped in. He really is listening.
And your work evolved because of it.
And they invest because of that. They're like, hey, I gave $100 today, but I really want to give you $1,000. Mm-hmm. But I want to see where your story is going. They don't tell you that off bat, but that's the vibe.
That's the artist connection that I think a lot of people are looking for. Like when you think about it, you have the fandom, which is like, oh, you do, right? but it's not about you just being dope. It's they feel connected to your work on some level.
Yeah, I saw that from Gary V.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking like, oh, this is a YouTube personality. There's no way that this guy is the same person as what we all see. And then I went to VCon, and then I saw him talk to 1,000 people in a line. I don't know about you guys, but if you talk to 20 people in a line, after a while, your energy is
pretty drained.
Yeah. But you know, he has a team telling him when to take breaks. He's a we're all human beings. You know what I'm saying? But I saw that and I was like, wow, you can be successful and you can be hardworking and you can be a nice person, right? You don't have to let the world change who you are. You just protect your energy. He does it so like smooth.
Effortless.
Yo, he's like, man, pray for them. You know, I like pray for all of them, like whether they love you or they don't like you,
just pray for each and every one of them.
Yeah, because if you know who you are, why are you even worried about it? Exactly.
Don't waste your energy, guys.
I mean, you already got to step one. Know who I am.
Yeah.
But do you know who I am?
Yeah. No, the world's noisy. That's what it is. There's a lot of noise. There's a lot of outside energy. Mm-hmm. And being tapped into yourself, to your intent, to the way you go about doing things, says a lot about who you are.
Facts. What was one of the biggest moments that taught you that lesson?
I think it was after the Hialeah mural that we did for Verizon. You know, it did start off as like Rock Soul. Mm-hmm. And then Rock Soul created Project Roadmap. And we have the wifey, Christy Love. We have like all these components and we have a team, mm-hmm. right? But it's easier saying it and then doing it. And then you get one out the way. You're like, all right, cool. This works. Mm-hmm. Then you get two out the way, then three, then four, then five, and six, and you created this whole infrastructure, mm-hmm. right? And there's faith involved, there's trial and error, and there's just doing it, even if it's not perfect. The aha moment would be like the mayor is with Lushy and my friend D and my dad's there, and I'm just kind of like, damn, like, not that we should give ourselves roses, but I'm like,
We did it.
Yeah. And it's like, and it is hard work because there is a lot of noise. Like when you become successful, there are people that are going to dictate what you should do or what you shouldn't do. And that's why you have to be very specific with the way that you come across,
mm-hmm.
you know? And I would say, yeah, that was that mural.
Roxo dropping gems.
Always.
Gems.
Trying.
Love it, man.
Thank you.
Love it.
What's the next thing coming from Roxo?
So we released an online project called Roxo Certified mm-hmm. on the blockchain. It minted out in 30 minutes.
Which chain?
Ape Chain.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Bored Ape Chain. And that was me kind of testing the waters
mm-hmm.
and trying to figure out like, okay, do I have a community? Do I have supporters? And we minted out in 30 minutes. I was like, okay.
30 minutes.
So it's real. Yeah. It was a one of one 500 collection. And we minted out.
You did it.
Yes, we did it. It happened. It's real.
That's what's up.
It's reality. So the next thing is I'm going to be releasing a much bigger project for my online community. We're tapping in with other art collectives here in South Florida to do curated art events and experiences.
Can you give me exclusives? Can't give
any specific locations, but it wouldn't. Can't say too much, but it does involve art workshops, entrepreneurship, just okay. pretty much us giving the gems. Like, we're not gatekeeping anymore. We want Miami to win. That whole crab in the bucket mentality where we're all like, I don't want this person to win because they're going to take this opportunity.
Breaking down the gate, so y'all get ready.
There is abundance. It's just the way that you look at it. Like, mm-hmm. we were in Atlanta and we were like, we need to, because Atlanta, the way Atlanta supports is crazy.
It's different, right?
Yeah, everyone's always said that.
Yeah, and we have to change it. It can't be a monetization thing. It can be transactional. It's mutual sweat equity.
Well, a lot of people don't realize too, though, is that, you know, even what we were talking about energy, that energy is a currency. Some people just want that monetary.
Yeah.
That dopamine.
But there's different types of currency that we can all be working with.
People Absolutely. Extract. And what happens is when you're taking away from someone and you're not adding anything in, eventually, like, it's
that's where it becomes a problem.
It's not like a gut instinct, but your body actually reacts to that. Where you're like, I did this and this, but you shouldn't do things either just expecting.
Yeah.
But it's a way of communicating.
It's give and take in life, you know?
So workshops, we're going to release an online community. We have other big mural activations in the works with the big Fortune 500 companies and brands. And music, we're going to be releasing music soon. And it isn't what you guys think, it's different. So I've been doing the hip hop for a minute. Me and the wifey have done so many songs, and now we have
country music.
Yes, country. No. we do have a band that we're working with. So we're going to be kind of chopping it up with the band and creating stuff and working with Beatwave as well.
All right, shout out Beatwave.
A lot of what we do, Beatwave is kind of like the glue that puts the sauce and everything together. Like, nice. We have the structure, we know how to make the songs, and we know how to communicate with him, and it's good, it's dope because we have such a great relationship.
Shout out Brandon of Beatwave.
Let's go, Beatwave. I've known this man for such a long time. When I know people, my best thing that I think we can work on is figuring out how to make things happen. So correct. I always ask people, I go, what do you think of this? How should we do this? I don't be like, I'm never like, yo, it needs to do this, it needs to do that. Or I'm never like, I'm like,
this
yo.
This is how it has to be done.
Yeah, you're open to anything to make it happen.
Exactly. And that's how we apply the same logic to the murals, to the business, to the brand. I ask people, like, what do you think? It's almost like you gotta let it be their idea so they can feel good about it. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, you need to have everyone feel invested.
In, right?
Yes, inclusion. That's what it is. Like, you want to feel like
you're a part of it.
It's like that.
Everybody wants to be a part of something special. Yeah. You know?
Especially especially in Miami, because when you think about it, it's not that a lot of people are hating on you personally.
Yeah,
they're hating on the fact that they can't be a part of it.
They didn't even know how to communicate. That's the thing. A lot of them are like, oh, this person is here, but like, they're never going to want to talk to me. Like, it's like, no, don't. Like, I'm going to tell you from experience, I've been around a lot of successful people. I've been around people that didn't know they were successful. They were just like undercover, you know?
Undercover success.
But you know how some people are very like, yeah, yo, you know, I'm successful. Yeah. But then
don't
you
let
meet
that
the real.
Fool you.
You meet the real person that's successful, and they're super kind, and they're super humble.
Yeah.
And it's
they don't got a Rolex on or any of that.
And it's not transactional. It's a conversation. It's ideas. It's like, what do you think? I'm like, well, I mean, I think that could work, but we're going to need this, this, and this. And they're like, I think I can make that happen. That's literally how these conversations go. But the thing is, if you're like, oh, I'm not good enough.
Oh, no.
That's the energy that you're putting out. And it's not being delusional or being cocky. You are good enough. You just have to deal with rejection. Because not everyone is going to be open to collaboration. Not everyone's going to understand where you're coming from. So you just... I learned this through sales. I learned this through just talking
to people.
What's
the worst that can happen? They tell you no, right?
That's it, yeah.
That's the worst.
Yeah.
Oh, no, my life is over. Yeah. But I mean, like... Rock, you've gone through the whole spectrum of like the come up, and you're still moving forward. So what's one of the most important things to keep you motivated?
To keep
what
me
drives Rock's soul?
Oh, man, it's
is it
so many.
Is it the sun?
No, <it's not. laughs> I mean, it's crazy how I'm waking up super late now. But I think what drives me is the idea of creating something new and putting things together that probably didn't make sense before and now makes sense now. Like, I there's learning, and then there's just like applying what you do on a day-to-day basis. So what drives me is the music, the art, interviews like this, family, friends, even my cats. Sometimes I'm just there.
Shout out to the cats.
I'm painting and I'm like, oh my God, I'm an artist in a studio and my cat is sitting in the chair watching me paint. 4 years ago, I was doing telemarketing.
Yeah.
And thinking about what would it be like to do this full time, watching Gary Vee, then meeting him. And I don't think there's a definition to it. I just think that it's life. It's your day-to-day. It's like
breathing. It's the choices you make every single day, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I think that's what makes me wake up, is being like, all right, cool. I am going to create some art. I'm going to put it out there, and I'm just going to see how the world reacts to it.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
It's shit. There's no better way to do it than that.
Yeah, yeah. I think overthinking it, too, is I don't wake up and I'm like, oh, I need this and this to happen. I'm more like... these are the possibilities. These are some things I want to work on, but let's see how I feel when I wake up, because everyone feels different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, giving yourself deadlines, that's a lot, bro.
So you don't do deadlines?
I create my deadlines within a realistic, like,
time frame.
You give yourself a few months.
Oh, yeah. And I explain it to them. I explain to people. I'm like, hey, like,
you want magic? It takes time.
Yeah. I do this. I do that. Like, I have all these things going. I'm not just an artist. We have an online business. We have music. We're trying to get permits for a mural. Like, when you communicate that to people, they're like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And it shows that
you take your time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, that's what makes it, that's what adds value to the project.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're like, if I'm walking around Wynwood and I go, Rock Soul did this piece, they'll be like, oh, that's pretty cool. I go, no.
Rock Soul,
the busiest guy I've dealt with this year, did this mural.
I tell people the process, and I do that because I want to see if, number one, they paid attention, and if it resonates. Because sometimes I might say stuff and it might not all hit. But the stuff
people, like you said, they just don't care.
They don't care. It was okay, you know? But that doesn't mean you should stop. You should always reintroduce yourself. That's another thing I've been doing, is I've been in the space for 4 years, whether it's the crypto space or Instagram or Twitter or TikTok. I am constantly reintroducing myself. I'm always bringing back new footage, old footage. I am just like,
don't forget about me.
Is it? No, yeah, and it translates to sales and translates to partnerships and translates to working with the community. It's...
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's dope. That's really good. I mean, trial and error. And if you just need Rock to reintroduce himself, you could start this podcast from the beginning.
Yeah. Play it in reverse. What's that thing that Jim Carrey used to do for the...
Yo, that
he used
was to be in reverse. Yeah. Classic, bro. Yeah. Classic Jim Carrey.
Try to decipher this podcast in reverse. There's some codes in there. But you know what would be crazy?
Some people
would be like, there is a code in there. Wait a minute. And I'm like, wait, there's no code. Like, no, there is.
You're lying.
And I'm like, oh, shit, it's the Da Vinci Code again. Oh, God.
Dun, dun, dun.
Wait, so there's a code in the murals? Maybe there is. I don't know.
Maybe. Look for it.
That's Rock Soul, right? Yeah, it's Rock
That's
Soul.
That's Rock Soul. Yeah. There's a code in the mural.
It is springtime. There might be a little Easter egg.
People are
going to
be like, take pictures, high definition. We need to analyze.
But Rock, wait. So you've been dropping gems since you got here. But, of course, there's so many people listening to this, both in Miami and out. What would be your advice to somebody who maybe wants to get into your realm of art or crypto or music?
I would talk to anyone that's willing to help you. And that's one thing I learned is, you know, you could teach yourself how to do everything, which is awesome, but it goes a long way collaborating with people. It goes a long way to understanding how the art industry works or the music industry, because there is passion to create art and to create music. But if you don't understand the business, then there's a resentment towards the work that you're putting in, because you feel like the world owes you respect, or the world owes you the knowledge of...
Or you didn't get paid enough for this gig.
It's not that it's your fault. It's just you need to give yourself time to network, to connect with people, to learn techniques, to build relationships with them. Because really, at the end of the day, it's people. Your art is a representation of your outside view of the world and how the world views you. So I would say that those aspects are what would help an artist in their journey. And trial and error. And there is structure, perfection, and craft. But know that there's also a certain level of just like, you need to just apply yourself and just keep going out there, and eventually something is gonna hit.
Nice. What would you tell Rock Soul that is having his first day in telemarketing?
Oh, God.
If you could go back with just one quick phone call.
I would tell him to keep
create
even more art and go on vacation.
Bitcoin. Yeah.
I would tell him, create art, right? Like, create as much as you can, take breaks, and go on vacation.
Okay.
Yeah. Because, like, we mean, we are full-time. Like, we live this. Like, our life
is
like...
Use that PTO.
Yeah. Go on vacation. go out, see the world.
You got sick days too.
Yeah, and try stuff. Get uncomfortable.
Okay.
Get uncomfortable. Okay. Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, but not in a bad way. Just
that's the thing. Don't do weird shit. All right.
But artists are so scared to just try shit because they're like, oh, I want to be safe and I want to be content. It's like, all right, you just master that level. Let's get to the next level.
Push it to the next level. Rock, are there any shout-outs that you want to give to the world before we go?
Yes. Shout-out to the homie Dre Mav, my dog right here, dog. Let's go. The wifey, Christy Love, Project Roadmap, Verizon, the Apes, everybody, man. Everybody that's been showing me love. It's been a crazy-ass journey. All the kids that we're teaching at the Museum of Graffiti and the lockdown facilities, just keep doing your thing. Keep believing in yourself. Don't let nothing hold you back, and have faith. Even when things don't seem like they're going to go the way that you want them to go, just, you know, believe, and every day is different.
God is with us even in the worst of times, everybody.
Yes.
Love it.
Where can we find Rock Soul, all of the projects, Project Robot, all of that?
So Rock Soul Miami, R-O-C-S-O-O Miami, on all social media platforms, Project Roadmap, or The Project Roadmap, on all social media platforms. Websites are up. Everything's looking amazing. We did the groundwork. And new music in the way too.
Hashtag winning.
Oh yeah, shout out to Beatwave, Miami Beatwave.
Shout out Beatwave. All right, y'all, so that wraps it up.
Let's go.
Okay.